Let's begin today from the book of Luke chapter 24. We are still dealing with faith basics, that is the fundamental things about Christianity that we are supposed to know. The book of Luke chapter 24, that's where I'm going to start reading. I'm titling my message today. Well, I don't always have titles today, I have one. Witnesses and Preachers. What did I call it? I can't hear you. Thank you. That's what I want to talk about. The book of Luke chapter 24, that's where we'll read the first one from. Just the charge that Jesus gave the disciples after his resurrection. I'll start from verse 44. Now, Jesus says something to them that these are my words, that is the things that you have experienced are the words I spoke to you beforehand. He said, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He now said, verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. That's where I'm going here, really. He said, you are witnesses of these things. Let's just read the next few verses. He said, or the next one, verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city, that is Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. Let's just stop that one there. Quickly open to the book of Matthew. Let me just read one more from the book of Matthew and then. Please notice that Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. That's one word you will see in the Bible again and again, witnesses. First of all, I will explain the meaning of the word witnesses. Let's open to Matthew chapter 28. I want to start from verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, notice the word, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please, just pardon me, one more I would like to read, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Now, there are different things that, or different accounts of the things that Jesus said to them at the end. We're going to read from verse 6. And when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And as Jesus said to them in verse 7, it is not for you to know times or seasons or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. In verse 8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's the word I'm coming to again. My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. All right. Now, these are the few verses I wanted to start today with. I will be speaking, like I said earlier today, about what I called witnesses and preachers. You know, we have been talking about our faith basics. Let's get these things right. What are the fundamentals of Christianity? There was something that Jesus said. He said that my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light. And I said to us before, and this is a matter of fact, that Christianity is not difficult. I don't mean that the people observing from outside will not think it is difficult, all right? But to the person participating in it, it's not a difficult thing. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light. That's a matter of fact. When John the Baptist was in the wilderness, eating locust and wild honey, he wasn't feeling bad. I hope you understand my point. He wasn't feeling bad at all. You know, this afternoon I was watching on National Geographic. They were describing how Rolls Royces are made, and they were going into all of the details. In fact, I was impressed why the car is so silent. You see the different kind of soundproofing they put inside the car to insulate the car from road noise, engine noise, all kinds of noises. And the way they tested that the car must not creak, all those kind of things. As they were doing everything, in my mind I said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. And it's like chasing after the wind. There are people that won't think of any other thing but that Rolls Royce. When they finished, I was very impressed, but I told myself, vanity upon what? vanity. As a matter of fact, Rolls Royce is what? Vanity. And listen, why did I talk about that? The man in the Rolls Royce has listened to me. In reality, he's no more comfortable than John the Baptist in the wilderness. That's where I'm going to. John the Baptist would do feel better inside that Rolls Royce as that more than he was feeling inside the wilderness. I'm not saying Rolls Royce is bad, though, all right? But it's still vanity. It's still vanity. Solomon used things, very the best things in his time. And he said, it's what? It is vanity. So you can never, look, listen, is it Pastor Banky here? No, Rolls Royce is different. So Solomon no enter Rolls Royce. So you can never prove the word of God wrong. When you step into it after 3 days, you will ask yourself, why was I laboring for this? Say, why do you spend your energy for that which is not bread? All right? That which does not satisfy. Now, please get what I'm saying. So, you see, the person going through it doesn't understand the difference. That's what I'm trying to explain. So, Christianity, even though you see a man looks like as if he's deprived, if really he's walking, listen to me, he's walking, if really, listen, if really, really, he's walking according to the faith of Christ Jesus, it is not a difficult thing. Do you understand? If you see anybody lamenting, people like to, they like people to feel sorry for them. Just know the person is not walking according to the faith of Christ. He's talking about how much he's suffering for Christ and all of that. Every day he's whining and whining and whining. He's not walking according to the faith of Christ Jesus. Please, you know, there's something wisdom said. He said, my ways are simple to them that understand. The problem is that people oftentimes are doing things that they think are pleasing to God. Meanwhile, they are doing what they think is pleasing to God. There was something, one joke I read many years ago about two people from different religions. One of them a Jew, one of them a Christian, I think. He said the Christian looked at the Jew. After they had argued and argued, they said, look, why are we arguing? After all, we are brethren. I mean, you are serving God your own way. I'm serving God his own way. He didn't catch the joke. The man said, you are serving God your own way. I'm serving God his own way. That is, I mean, that was a joke. What I'm trying to say is that a lot of times people are serving God their own way, and they are not serving God his own way. And the right things are difficult, and they think that that is Christianity. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Is light. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying Christians don't do stuff. I didn't say that. What I'm just saying is that what happens is that what they are doing to them is not a hard thing. Jesus went to the cross. Before he stepped in, they looked like it was difficult. But when he understood because he understood the ways of God, he went into the garden and prayed until the cross became easy. Do you follow my point? And we've discussed that one before. We're not going over it again. So why did I go into all of that again? I'm trying to bring out the issue of the ways of God. If we follow the ways of God, we'll discover that Christianity is actually a light burden, that like Jesus said. Today I'm talking about, like I said, preachers and what? Witnesses and how? Witnesses and preachers. How do we preach the gospel? Do you understand? Now, you know, there are different ways that people have endeavored to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, I read all of these things, these scriptures we read, to bring us a number of issues. One, you will see Jesus use the word, you will be my witnesses, all right? Then you say, go into all the world and make disciples. Or some Bible say, preach the gospel. You make disciples, all right? Now, I want to explain two things this morning and this evening. One, the issue of witnesses and the issue of what? Preaching. Now, it's very important because when we don't get it right, there are people that harass people trying to get them into the kingdom of God. Listen, I tell you something I've said it a number of times. The way Jesus will preach those days, the way John the Baptist will preach, the way the disciples preached at the beginning, listen, they were not really begging and trying to beg somebody so somebody will feel sorry for them and say, okay, since you are going to wear me out with your much preaching, let me believe now so that you won't finish, you won't disturb me. Are you getting my point? No. People will come to John the Baptist and John will look and say, who begged you to come? Say, ooh, they have come. Okay, I'm not baptizing today. Come back tomorrow. Now, you understand my point? Amen. You say, you brood of vipers. Who begged you to come? Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. People will come to Jesus Christ and his disciples say, what must we do to be saved? Peter finished preaching. People say, please, what must we do that we may be delivered from the judgment that is about to come? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, you cannot, maybe I should start from that. You cannot use your sense. Sometimes I see, and it's not bad, all right? It's not really totally wrong. I watch on TV sometimes people trying to train people on how to preach the gospel. You know, they say, okay, then you tell the story. Like, when it reaches this point, by this time, the person will be getting curious. It's a lie. Some people will never, they are getting irritated by the time you get to that point. They're not getting curious. All right? It's good to help young believers to teach some of these things. All right? I'm not saying that they're totally bad, but I think we should get the correct things properly in our hearts. Listen, John says something which is very important. Quickly open to the book of John chapter 1. In fact, it's one of the most important ones I should read today. How do we preach the gospel? We'll see the proper order of Christ Jesus. Like Ed Cole said, I quote him all the time. He said, balance is the key to life. People often just take one end. They are preachers, but they are not witnesses. So I want to explain both things. There's a difference between being a preacher and being what? A witness. All right? Now, though both of them are linked, but they are different. Who is a witness? This is what John said. This is what a witness is. The book of John, from that's 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He said, what was from the beginning? What we have heard. Now, notice this. What we have seen with our eyes. What we beheld and our hands handled. We use our senses and contacted it. That's what he was saying. Concerning the word of life. Now, I described that life in verse 2. Then in verse 3, he continued what he was saying. He said, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Please, let me just read verse 2. I jumped it because I wanted us to get a sense in what he was saying. He was describing that word of life. He said that life was manifested and we have seen and we bear what? Witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He said we beheld, we heard about it, we saw with our eyes, we beheld and our hands handled matters that had to do with the word of life. Listen to me. That was what made us witnesses. Listen, Jesus said something at the beginning, the first one we read, that Luke chapter 24. He said, you are witnesses of these things. Who is a witness? Listen, when you go to court and they call a witness, a witness is not the person who came to court. That's not what makes the person a witness primarily. What makes somebody a witness is the fact that he witnessed the event. Are you getting my point? Now, come to court to testify. All right? So we say he's a witness. But what really makes him a witness? All right? It's not that he came to court to testify, but that he witnessed what he's about to testify concerning. You know, there's one mistake we make a lot as Christians. We all try to be Reinhold Bonnke. I'll talk about it as we go on. One of the major ways by which you preach the gospel and show yourself as a witness for Christ Jesus is in the area of your gift and your calling. Are you getting my point? John says something here. I am not declaring to you that which I do not know. Do you follow my point? It's good to have methods to make your point clear. But most importantly, you must have a point. I don't know whether I hear what I said. If you know, people talk about how to make presentations. Very few of them explain that you must know what you are talking about. The color of your PowerPoint preparation. How you stand. Where you balance your microphone. When you move your hand, how to connect with the audience. Anytime I hear them, I say, please, you have not yet explained that this person must know what he's talking about. You know, my wife is an accountant, you know, by the training. Those days when she was in the earlier stages of her ICANN exams. One day, somebody gave her a tape to prepare for an exam. And she was playing the tape and I was there, I was listening. After a while, I said to her, this man does not know what he's talking about. Now, listen to me, I'm not an accountant. Are you getting my point? I still remember the man's voice. You divide that by the total cost. That's total cost, all right? And he was talking about total cost and this one cost. I said, okay, this man. Now, this was a tape. I said, this man does not know what he's talking about. Later on, she told her friend who gave her the tape. And that one laughed. She laughed because, as a matter of fact, those in the classes that the man would teach had concluded that the man doesn't know what he's talking about. He made a tape, read out his notes, did everything, so the tapes were circulating. I heard it once. I mean, she was just playing nearby. I was not listening to it. I'm not taking that kind of exam, all right? I mean, I'm not an accountant. I wasn't trying to learn management accounting, whatever it is that he was teaching, or cost accounting, or financial accounting, or accounting, one of those things, yeah. But I heard a man once, I said, this man does not know what he's talking about. How did I know? Just by hearing him. He wasn't passing out any spirit. Do you understand? He was not making things clear. I don't know how to explain it further. I just heard the man. I said, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I had nothing to say about his method of presentation. The point was that it was clear that the thing was not coming out of his belly. Are you getting my point? He just read it somewhere, made notes, and is now reciting the notes. The fact is that the thing has not become a part of him. What marks a good teacher? My experience in life has shown me that. It's not the man who just knows how to explain. That is less than a quarter of what makes a man a good teacher. It's a man who understands what he's saying. We make the mistake. We say, this man knows how to teach. I have found out that the gift of teaching is not in passing it across. The gift of teaching is really in understanding the matter. A man who doesn't have understanding cannot pass the matter across to you. So you say he's a bad teacher. The truth is that he does not understand. Now listen, there's a gift of teaching, I know. But I'm saying fundamental, before you're talking about, you start talking about the gift, is whether the man really knows what he's talking about. What am I saying? A lot of people want to preach and preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. Don't even know that gospel. Therefore, they make a mess of it. That's what I'm talking about. They hear Rehon Bonnke tell a story about soap and dirty people on the earth. Then they memorize it. Next time you enter a bus, good morning everybody. I hope you know there's plenty of soap in this world and many people are still dirty. That's why I'm telling you today, you must believe in Christ Jesus. And everybody's confused. What has the soap got to do with faith in Christ Jesus? But when you heard it, that's the problem. When you heard it from the mouth of Rehon Bonnke, it made sense. The man was speaking that which his hands had handled. I hope you're following what I say. A lot of people, look, I say it all the time. You say, how do I work for God? I say, you don't need to. You need to know God first. Then working for him will come out of you naturally. Who is a witness? A witness is somebody who has an experience. That's what a witness is. That is, if you have not been working with God, you can't preach for him. It's not possible. You're going to be talking about somebody you don't know, you don't understand. A witness is not the person who knows how to preach. A witness is the person who knows what he's talking about. And Jesus, when he came to his disciples in that Luke chapter 24 that we read, he told them, see, look at these are the things I told you earlier on. You have seen them happen. This is how it happened. He said, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. That is, I'm not just sending you to go and preach. First, I gave you an experience. You were there when these things happened. I told you first of all they would happen. Then they happened. You saw everything happen exactly the way I said they would happen. Exactly the way Moses said they would happen. Exactly the way the prophets and David said they would happen. He said, now you are witnesses. That's why it was not hard for Peter to preach. It wasn't. It wasn't. Yes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon them to give them boldness. That's a matter of fact. But basically, when the men were speaking, they knew what they were talking about. You couldn't persuade him that Jesus is not the Messiah. What did he not see? He was there when Lazarus woke up from the dead. He was there when the man whistled small, a whole tree died. Just look tree. I can shake it. That was the end of the tree. He was there. He was there when the man said, come. And he stepped out on water and began to walk on water. And he saw the man in front of him. You couldn't tell him he's not the son of God. What are you talking about? You have to give him another explanation for how a man will walk on water. How a man will feed 5,000 people with food that was just enough for one or two people. You had to give Peter another explanation. And this is the point. Listen, God doesn't want you to start persuading people. Preaching is not trying to persuade people with arguments. Preaching is just state what you know and walk away. The rest is called the work of the Spirit of God. That's why Paul said in that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Quickly open to that. Well, let me just read it to you. So let me not waste your time opening to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of God, but on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now listen, when he said like that, later when I began to explain that we actually have deep wisdom to speak, but that's not what we used to preach to people. When we come, we just state things the way they are, simply, straightforward, not trying to sound sharp. The problem with people is that we cram messages that other people preached. Are you getting my point? And we are not witnesses of those things. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. What am I saying? You cannot preach effectively to anybody until you have a personal experience of what you're talking about. They said that, look, what if you die tonight? You have not won any soul to the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't win the soul to the Lord. All right? But that guilt, that guilty conscience, all right, is not going to make you convert anybody. Yes, it won't. Let me tell you how preaching is. It's not a duty. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It's a matter of... Okay, let me put it, let me explain it like this. It's a matter of compassion and understanding. Now, let me explain. You watch TV, you see, very common from America. Nigerians are learning now also. Good things, all right? Yeah, NGOs, they'll get up and say that want to eradicate, let's say, okay, malaria. You see Bill Gates, I see him on TV. I've seen him a few times, and he's talking about it. He's passionate about what he's talking about. They'll be giving you statistics. These are the figures. The number of children that die in a year from malaria. These are the things we can do. This is how we can do them. And they go around doing those things because they believe very strongly they work. Nobody commanded, thou shalt eradicate malaria in your lifetime. He has no commandment like that he's obeying. Are you following my point? Men will settle down and say, look, this is the problem in the society. They start organizing, contributing money, believing that they can solve them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's how the gospel is. The men who preach the gospel are persuaded that it is the solution to the problems of the people they are preaching to. Those are the only people that have effect and have power with their preaching. Do you follow my point? As long as you think it's a matter of duty. I mean, I hope I don't sound too critical sometimes. Sometimes I told you the story before. The house I used to live in, one guy used to drive his car to park somewhere near the front of my house and put on one ugly speaker. Cracking, croaky speaker. Start around 4:30 in the morning and start preaching a message which, again, sorry, I feel he's not persuaded about. Listen, a lot of times we Christians constitute ourselves into a nuisance. And you know why we do that? We don't love the people we are dealing with. We are trying to satisfy a commandment that we must preach. So the issue that whether you like or not is your problem. If you like, don't believe. Now you go hell, no be me. I will show to God that 4:30 a.m. I came to your street for 1 week. You did not believe. Now you got to go punish you, no be me. I have done my portion. White garment churches, spiritually, they do that. It's part of the prescription for healing people's problems. They say you go for what they call proclamation. For all this your sin, for all this your troubles, all your sicknesses, all your financial disturbances, everything, you will do 4 days proclamation. So you see, it's very good. It's very good for people. It humbles them very well. See, a rich man, they'll give him a bell. Hey, you guys in Eastern Nigeria, none of them see that kind of thing. Come west, they're there. You give a man a bell, he wake up around 4 a.m. He starts trekking, barefoot. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, God says, if you don't repent, you're in trouble. He's coming to get you. Watch out. Repent, and he goes around for like an hour or two, does that for a number of days. He's not preaching. He's trying to solve his own problems. So you look, and I still remember one man I saw. I was wearing red. Had a bell in his hand. And he was singing, Abore o Jesu, Abore o Jesu, Mojise to Rami. Alayinka. What does it mean? He said, ah, so I don't return. Jesus Christ, I don't deliver the message. That's literally what it means. I don't give a hoot. My name is Jonah. Kill them if you want. Let's say fish chops a man. We better tell them ahead of time. If we don't tell now, we'll get swallowed. Now, please, are you following what I'm saying? But that's not the preaching of the gospel of Christ, no. The man that preaches actually believes. He will look at you and say, oh boy, the way you are walking won't favor you. Your sins will eventually find you out. Jesus said, they came and told Jesus something that happened. He said, do you think those men that Pilate mixed their blood with their sacrifices, you think they are the worst of sinners? He said, well, let me tell you, except you repent, you will likewise perish. He saw a man that had been the man that had been invalid for 38 years. Prayed for the man became well. Then he looked for the man again and said, listen, let me tell you now. Stop sinning. Otherwise, something more terrible will come upon you. He wasn't trying to preach. He just realized that if I don't tell this man, he's going to become invalid for another 75 years. Are you getting what I'm saying? Who is a witness? A witness is a man who knows what he's talking about, who has experienced what he's talking about. That's one side to it. Let me tell you another side about being a witness, which is part of experiencing something. This is how God works. Let me explain this very clearly to us again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a matter, is not outward. It's first of all inward. Are you getting my point? What he does is that before he sends you out, you must first be with him. There's something I keep on saying to Christians. This is what God is trying to do in our lives. He wants to turn us to this kind of person. All right? To such a person that if he were not around, let's assume God takes leave once in a while. You understand what I mean? Like, assuming he does. All right? He doesn't, but let's assume he does. All right? So he tells you, I'm going on my 2010 leave. And then he puts you on the seat. To occupy that seat till he comes back. God doesn't want to give you a list of instructions concerning what to do. He wants you to know what to do because you have become like him. Are you getting what I'm saying? I like to say that again and again. What God is really going for is that he wants you to become exactly like him. Jesus said, concerning Jesus, it was spoken that it was the exact representation of his nature. That is, Philip said, show us the Father. He said, what more do you want to know about the Father that you have not seen in me? I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I'm coming to something, all of these things. So the man who wants to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus, his goal should not be to preach the gospel, but his goal should be first to become exactly like God is. Are you getting my point? So that when I automatically utter the words of God. And listen, there was a time that Acts chapter 4, when Peter and Co. finished talking and everything, they said, how come these guys are as bold as this? Then they reasoned that they had been with Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, one of the epidemics we have in the body of Christ in Nigeria today, a lot of so-called pastors, because they are promoted, all right, are actually crooked. And the people know they are crooked. You can preach from now till thy kingdom come. They will never believe you. Because the message is not real. You are not a witness. You have not become anything that they should emulate. A friend of mine talks to me once in a while. His boss in the office is a pastor in a church that is only the Holy Spirit that held my mouth, and I almost told you. But it's a church you know very well. He said, there is no woman that he can, that he doesn't sleep with. Unless he can't. That is, she did not agree. I know his name, Pastor. And on Sunday, grab the microphone, let us raise our hands and begin to worship the Lord. A miracle is about to happen in your life today. And the co-workers are looking at him. Hey, now wow. If this one is Pastor, I'm a poop. Hey. Let me tell you a story somebody told me some time ago. One man, a bad boy on campus, one day he came to fellowship. His friend dragged him to fellowship. Follow me to fellowship. Then that day, when they finished preaching, say, who wants to give his life to Christ? He put up his hand and he went forward. What did they preach to persuade you? He said, I did not hear anything. I was not listening to the message. What happened is that this University of Lagos, he went to, when they were, I think in the first year, there was an exam sometime before that. They were in the exam hall. Listen to this. They were in the exam hall. And you know the way students can be quite irresponsible. Many people listening to me have, may the Lord forgive you. Amen. All right. So bullet was flying. What they call bullet? Anyway, internet connection, networking. Use any name you like for it. People were networking and networking and networking. And this man who gave his life to Christ, I'm telling the story, all right? Telling his story now, was there. And he noticed one guy sitting there squarely. He also did not know the course like everybody else. He sat down there and the bullets were flying. He wouldn't turn. People would whisper. He just kept, he faced his paper, didn't ask anybody for help for nothing. He just, in righteousness, either failed or passed the exam. I don't know. Then this young man came to fellowship one day, the same campus. And as he entered, who did he see holding the microphone? That guy who sat down in class that day, refusing to cheat with anybody. He said he didn't listen to anything. He was just waiting for them to ask people to give their lives to Christ. Why? Because that guy was a witness. Are you getting my point? Then listen, you can preach 100 messages. He was in class. He saw that this guy refused to cheat. Listen, God was described as the God of Abraham, the God of the fear of Isaac. That's how Jacob described him. And I spent before that. You know what that means? It means that when you saw Isaac, you knew something was pushing him. You left your money with Isaac, he wouldn't take it. He will come and give you back. Isaac wouldn't cheat you when you have the opportunity. Why? Because he knew somebody was watching him. And for that reason, God was called the fear of Isaac. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, a witness is a person whose character is describing the nature of God. I hope you're following what I'm saying. There's an epidemic of religion in Nigeria right now. You know that? There's an epidemic. It's a problem. I'm sorry. It's a real problem. Because R.W. Schambach said something once. He said, you inoculate people with religion. They get resistance to the real faith. I mean, if you know a bit of medicine, you know how we, how doctors, you know what they call vaccines? Yes. A vaccine is actually the disease, but in a low state. So we give you a small disease. You catch a small disease. It doesn't hurt you much. The day the real disease comes, you are resistant to it. So R.W. Schambach said, that's the problem. That people have been inoculated with Christianity. You give them small religion. They think they are Christians. They go to church. They pay their tithes. They give offerings. First fruits every January. Therefore, when you tell them about real faith, they have no understanding. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Listen, I think in Nigeria today, there's an epidemic. We have a serious problem. I wish, let me not wish for things I don't understand. Let me keep quiet. But really, there's a serious problem. People have said all the time that, how come you guys go to church a lot? Nigerians are so religious, yes, Nigeria is so corrupt. The truth is that religion never solves the matter of corruption. Religion and Christianity are not the same things. They are not. I was talking with one of my our brethren a few days ago. I think it was yesterday. And these are the things we are talking about. That we pastors, we even celebrate corruption. That is what I mean. Do you get my point? That is, look, I know you. You don't have much money. Then you go to Abuja one day. You come back and give me a tithe of 15 million and I don't ask questions. That's called celebration of corruption. Listen, I said to you before, testimony is not what you got to, it's how you got it to. Listen, anybody can get anything. Anybody can get anything. It's how does the testimony. Are you following what I'm saying? Testimony is not what. The problem these days is that we emphasize on what. Come on, give a testimony. In fact, the lady I was talking to, one of our brethren I was telling you about, she said in their church, or somewhere she went to, One young woman came to testify. Praise the Lord. The summary of the testimony is that she now has a two-bedroom flat, I think. You know, a two-bedroom bungalow, a house. You know, it's her own. How do you get it? Praise the Lord. An uncle gave it to me. Amen. And she got worried and asked the pastor, say, please, we demand clarification. A young single girl gets a two-bedroom bungalow in Abuja or somewhere, and it's a man that gave it to her. In Nigeria, you are stupid to let her testify without giving clarification. No, I want to know. Listen. He said, Pastor Banko, what I'm saying is that most girls who get such things are involved in illicit activities. And by the time you mount a pulpit, please just clarify. Praise the Lord. One day I was going home. I saw one man was stranded. I helped him pack his bag that fell down. Then one day, we discovered that I was a homeless girl. And God spoke to him in reward for the thing I did 2 nights ago. He now gave me a house. It's good. We've heard it. But to just give him a testimony of the house and you walk away, a man gave you a house. This 2010 in modern day Nigeria. You ain't mounting my pulpit to share that testimony. I will dissect it. I want his phone number. I'm going to call him. Okay, what's the relationship with this girl? She's my church member. You give her a house. Is it true that her father is your brother? Who give birth to you? Where is your birth certificate? My intimidate with testimony. That is why, listen, we can't preach to anybody. Recently, they were telling me about, you know, there was a time some banks, you know, small trouble entered some banks recently in Nigeria. They said, they are persecuting us. I was looking. This is persecution. You can call it anything you like. There's a fine line to divide what is persecution and what is judgment. Yes. Sometimes you are misbehaving, God judges you. Ignoring Moses is persecution. What is persecution? Did they lie? Did they lie against you? What persecution are you telling me? But this point I make it. I say, listen, brethren. Some of the... I'm not mentioning any name. You hear name from my mouth? Some of the people that were judged, you know their problem? They be senior manager for bank. For a young woman, married woman self, to get promotion, you have to sleep with the man. The man is a senior pastor. He's a senior manager and a senior pastor. On Sunday, praise the Lord. Who has a testimony to share unto the Lord? And not the devils. They come to church. It's the networking zone. There's nothing real going on. It's networking. Who will give his life to Christ? I'll give my life to Christ too, because my job be that. I mean, we all know what goes on in the offices. You come to... Look, that's what I mean by epidemic of Christianity. Everybody goes to church on Sunday. Nobody's repenting of evil works. And we pass on, oh, there are a lot of jagudas who roll around. They call themselves. As I was driving down just now, one man kind of, you know, block route for me. When I saw the collar on his neck, I look and say, you think I should resign you because you wear collar? Dogs wear collar. What's your problem? You brandish your collar. Want to harass me? No, you see, God forgive me, child. Sometimes I dey vex because, you see, people keep on saying that Nigerians go to church, but the country is not better. Because we, pastors in church, we don't want the country to be better. We don't. That's why we do special thanksgiving when you are appointed minister. Praise the Lord, one of us is now a minister. Amen. They give your testimony. What you are with us is giving the testimony. Okay, now they get security vote for ministry. I know they get. This is the title. We brought you up. You bring your tithe down here. That is, as we are saying it, what is going on in our minds? All right, that well, this church will finally be able to roof it. Amen. You are now a minister. Praise God. You know, in church we have more jobs, more contracts. We expect to have more millionaires. Listen, I need to say it. All right, so that we, in case we did not realize it is evil. All right, let us know it is wrong. If they appoint you a counselor, governor, minister, where I did, all right? I will thank God for you. But the boy, we will talk. What's the talk? It's a bottle of oil. In the midst of bread, I will write my vows, which you will take, upon which I will bless you that you may succeed. I've said it before. Listen, If the body of Christ really want to feel, they want the world to feel their effects. When a man becomes a governor and is a member of your church, write your own vow for him. You know the way we ordain ministers. You will get up and recite stuff. Then they will pour oil on you. Then you go and say, hey, I'm an ordained minister. Now, in the same manner, I think you need more ordination if you are becoming a governor in Nigeria. You do. We should bring you forward. Instead of rejoicing for you, we should be feeling bad for you. Let me tell you the truth. The way our country is now, you have no reason to smile and congratulate your friend who becomes a governor. No. It's more of, oh boy, how are you going to manage? How are you going to cope? We'll be praying for you. Okay, three of us every week, 30 minutes. Only you. You are the prayer point. Because it's not easy. What am I trying to say? Unconsciously, what we do is we celebrate corruption. Do you understand my point? Then I said that the world is not repenting. Why should they repent? There's nothing. Look, listen, we are not witnesses. I was telling last time, there are people, they will tell me testimonies that if that one is a Christian, then I don't ever want to be a Christian. And what do they mean? There's persecution for righteousness sake. All right? But this is not persecution for righteousness, it's persecution for wickedness sake. I've worked with people who are intensely religious. But the general gist is that this man does not want anybody to progress. He will never help you. If you are progressing, he's sad. The only thing he does is to condemn you and condemn you and condemn you. Preach from now till tomorrow. You are a bad witness for Christ Jesus. You are not witnessing for him. You should enroll in the court of Satan. You are a very good reflection of what Christ Jesus is, of what the devil is, if you behave like that. A very good reflection of what the devil is. One of the problems I have with Christianity these days, I know that the epidemic we have, it's a serious disease. I've seen it a lot, especially money matters. There are people that only their pastors know they are generous. If you're like that, you ain't serving God, you are serving Satan. Let me say it again, so that you know it was not a slip of tongue. Satan doesn't mean you are worshipping at a shrine. It means you have missed the will of God. If your pastor is the only person who knows you are generous and you give, if the testimony of the fact that you're a giver only comes from the mouth of your pastor, you ain't serving God. Go and read my book, How to Work for God and Grace to Prosper. I explain those things in there. Because, you see, that's idolatry. When all your good works are done around the institution called church, that's idolatry. You never go late for workers' meeting in your church, but in your office. Now lie, you will never go on time. You are a bad witness of Christ Jesus. You know, like I was saying the other time, you are a woman. Huh? Pastor, well done, sir. Well done, sir. God bless you, sir. You're so respectful and nice. In fact, when you come to report your husband to the pastor, he thinks this man must be wicked. Such an angel of a woman. This man is just punishing her like this. Because in his presence, you don't kneel down, sharp, sharp. The kind kneel down when you not kneel down for your papa. You don't kneel down for your father, no. But when you get to church, carry the pastor's bag. Where else, sir? You want to sit down, you don't carry this thing. Clean the chair for him. sit down. You want water, sir? Run up and down. Matter ministry. You get my point? Just running up and down. If you are like that, listen to me. You are a bad witness for Christ Jesus. If your father is an unbeliever, he will never repent. Why should he? The other time, Ken Katas was telling me a story. Many of you should know Ken Katas. All right. About some programs they're doing in Port Harcourt. One day, I think one boy's father or the mother came to look for him. That, what did you give my son to drink or to eat? Something, the boy has gone crazy. Now, listen to what happened. The boy was a certified bad boy. You know those ones, you know, he said, you shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses, you know, after the Holy Spirit has come. Yes, there are some people who have received power after the evil spirit has come. And they are just bad, you know, bad boys, cult boys, secondary school boys, evil spirit wearing human flesh. Then one day, the boy came home. He woke up in the morning, instead of rushing out early or going about his runs, he gathered his father's clothes, sat down, and began to wash. The man looked like something is going on here. Something's happening. Something is going on here. The boy is sweep, you know, wake up, greet somebody. Ah. Hey. First day, he do am. Second day, he do am. Third day, he do am. Ah. The only time he goes out now is to go to this strange place where they give you something to smoke or to drink. That has turned his head like, finally, father got up and went there. What are people doing here? Because I don't recognize this fellow anymore. The one I know was possessed of the whole evil spirit from his mother's womb. Do you understand? But the one I see right now has totally become a new creature. So what are people doing? They say the boy believed in who? In Christ Jesus. The father will join now. The father will join. I remember we had a neighbor those days many, many years ago when I was much younger at home. In the morning, he tell his wife, "Foolish woman, come on, idiot. Come on, let us go to church now. You can't deny me from going to heaven." Now I laughed to myself. I said, "Hey, yes, maybe you want to leave hell and go to heaven, because as it is right now, he could abuse and say, "Wuluri Buruku, just come inside the car, let us go so that you won't deny me the passport to heaven." Hey. Now, please, I hope you're getting my point. But we are like this a lot of times. Then you go and learn how to preach. They say, "We are going door to door. Coco. Praise God. I hope you know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth." Say, "I know." "And that the name of the wonder is Mary." Say, "That's a story. Go on." "And if you don't repent, you will likewise perish." "I've heard it before." "Have you finished?" "Yes. I have witnessed, though, your blood is off my hands." You understand my point? You're a very bad witness. You are preaching. Are you getting my point? Preaching is to declare that which you have witnessed, that which you know. But being a witness is for you to represent and reflect the nature of that Christ that you are preaching. You are in the office. People have problems. You can't help them. Say, "Why?" You say, "You know, in our church we are building. So I have vowed half of my salary for this month towards that building project. Don't worry, God will help you. The person is sick." You now come next week, say, "Ah, praise God, we are doing a program in our church. Will you come?" You know, to go to your church. I told you, know, you heard me say before that, you know, God doesn't go to church. You've heard me say before. Yeah, he doesn't go to church, all right? He goes to workplaces, he goes to homes, he goes to the streets, he goes around. When he wants to mark people's behavior, he doesn't come to church, because he knows even the devil buys white when he's going to church. Everybody that comes to church is well behaved. You that nobody can talk to you. You drive rough, you do everything rough. When usher say, "Please sit down here," say, "Thank you very much." Once he's an usher. But if he's your office, say, "Please park here." "Why should I park there?" "Oga, please." Say, "Listen, you this bloody gate man. Do I look like your mate?" And tomorrow you hand him a tract. He may be a gate man, he's a man. He has pride. Are you getting my point? Listen, he too, there's a sense of manhood inside. You can't just be insulting him anyhow. I told you when he said, "A man is very humble." See, that man is very humble. In church, he carries chair. I said, "Get away." Kind of stupid humility is that one. Who won't carry church in chair? Hey, carry chair in church. Or carry something somewhere, sha. Want to see a humble man, go to his office. He's a DG. Let him carry chair there. That's when I know humility. Every idolater bows down before a shrine. You don't know that? All the adulterers you see in town go to the shrine they go to. The babalawo is poorly dressed. He said, "Kneel down." He will kneel down. "Bring your head." He will whip his head with leaf. After he has dipped in the blood of a poisonous snake. Does he complain? No, it's not humility that you came to church and you bowed your head. You are looking for something. Does everybody stand up right now? You will stand up. I want to bless you. Raise your right leg. That's how everybody is. You can raise your right leg. It is when the secretary in your office passes a note that there's a meeting at 12 o'clock. Everybody be seated by 5 to 12. That's when we know whether you are humble or you are not humble. Are you getting what I'm saying? You cannot be a jagudan terror in your neighborhood. Then you're chief usher in church. Where are you going to preach? Listen. There's a principle about preaching. You are first preaching in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then all the uttermost part of the world. When you're a crook in Okunanu, you now come to GRA to come and preach. That's not the will of God. You have jumped Judea. You've jumped Samaria. You have not gone to the uttermost part of Enugu State where they don't know your urukuruku behavior. You want to witness for Christ? Listen, the people who really, when they use the word Christian, is the people around you that should know whether you're a Christian or you are not. Because you see this church, where would they go? And you know, I like the language that we speak Christianese. Praise the Lord. Every child, the first thing he learns is how to say what? Hallelujah. The Lord is good all the time. Bless you, sir. Amen. It is well. This year is my year of breakthrough, my year of this year. You go and buy the sticker. Believe it or not, I'm a child of God. It's a good sticker because we actually don't believe it. You understand what I'm saying? Say, very good sticker. Crooks should use it. Believe it or not, I'm a child of God. Yeah, I can't believe it. You're a thief. Yes, I can't believe it. Any money that enters your hand, you need to may I not give you too many G's. Let me keep quiet and preach my message. What am I going to say? First of all, listen, a witness, all right? The real witness of Christ is not first known by what he says. It's first known by how his life or her life has been transformed by the relationship he or she has with God through Christ Jesus. That's the first thing about being a witness. Are you getting my point? Instead of settling down and learning how to cram the messages to preach, to turn people around. No, you don't need it. First, let the word enter you. A place like Nigeria of today. Listen, this is how you will be a witness. Because I say all the time, life is a battle of words. Life is always talking. You cannot be responding like every Guru Maharaji follower. And you want to preach to the Guru Maharaji man. You can't talk like a Muslim and you want to tell him that he should give his life to Christ. For what? The message you are preaching has not affected you. He's afraid of tomorrow, you're afraid of tomorrow. He believes he doesn't go to America, he can never prosper. You believe the same thing. See, this job is not my father's business. You say the same thing. You all conspire against your boss behind his back. Then after that, you now say, today's our day of witness. Amen. You have to give your life to Christ. And the guy looks at you. Listen. He can be resistant because he's a stubborn man, I know. But first of all, at least give him something to resist. You have not even given him anything to resist. You just want him to change the assembly he goes to. No, that's what you're asking. This is where you go normally. Don't go there again. Come this way. That's why I said, listen. First of all, go and read the scriptures. People used to come. Nicodemus came by what? By night. Don't look. Master, I beg, no vex. You know, publicly, I couldn't come. No one can behave like this except God is with him. Do you get my point? He was the one that came seeking. Listen, if indeed we become witnesses, people will come to seek. Are you getting my point? The one that we're always the ones pursuing. Go and check it. Philip, people gave attention to him because of the miracles that were done by his hands. What am I going to say? The people gave attention to him, not him trying to chase them down. I think we put our emphasis in the wrong places. I think maybe for now, you know, Jesus said, before you remove the speck in somebody's eye, come on the roko tree that fell inside your retina. I think before we start preaching, we should first preach to ourselves. Are you getting my point? Let people start asking questions about your life. Why are you like this? Because actually that's the easiest way to preach. Then you give an explanation. You know, I was watching on TV some time ago. That's a program. The person was talking about the life. It was the story of the life of this man. they were analyzing the life of George Foreman. If you've seen George Foreman in recent years, over the last 10, 15 years, you see, he's a happy man. Do you understand my point? He even fought, I think it was Mike Mora or somebody, and he beat the person, and an old man, he was 40-something, or is he, I'd even reached 50 or something, I'm not so sure. But, you know, he fought Mike Mora, I think a few years ago, and knocked him out. It was not as fast as he used to be, all right? But he still has a killer punch. So he was just taking all the beating. Then finally he landed one bad one on that guy. That guy went out. And no, that's it. That is, look, listen. I mean, he fought Holyfield. That was many years ago. Holyfield was much younger. And I think it was a draw or something. Holyfield managed to win on point. And I watched a bit of the match. Holyfield had to be dodged. That is like, run for your life. You will run. Then quickly land one and run away. Because if Foreman hits you with one, you're dead. So the day he finally met, I think it was Mike Mora, was one of the other guy, and he gave the guy one bad one. After taking all the punches that guy was throwing, he finally landed one wicked one, the guy went out. That was the end of the fight. Now, that's how Foreman used to fight and beat everybody. He went for Olympics, won the gold medal. After that, he went pro and was knocking everybody out. Then finally, Ali planned for him in what was known as the Rumble in the Jungle. Ali watched the guy and said, this guy can't last long. He's a hard hitter, but he doesn't have stamina. So Ali went in there, prepared for Foreman properly. What he did was just to rest. Foreman fought and fought and fought. For the first few rounds, he was beating Ali. I heard this later. He ruptured Ali's kidney with blues. Beat Ali badly, but Ali just refused to go down. And finally, when he was tired, Ali now went for him. Ali now beat him thoroughly. Now, that's not the story. The story is not about the details of the fight. But that was his first loss in life. After that, that was the end of Foreman. He went into deep depression. That is, the man, as far as he was concerned, his life had ended. He had never lost. His fights didn't used to go beyond the first two rounds. Who are you? The heavyweights that beat Ali, he knocked all of them out in one or two rounds. Foreman's blow was hard. But this is the point. When Ali beat him, they said the man went into depression. For years, he was not the same again. Now, what I'm telling the story is that the man who was saying it, the man said that when I see Foreman now, this I think was his coach or something, and that this man can live like he's living now, then I know indeed something happened to him. I don't know what I heard. I said, Foreman is not a happy man. You understand my point? I mean, he has a TV show, he mentors young people and all of that. And you ask him what happened. He would tell you that they preached the gospel to him. He gave his life to Christ. And that's how he recovered. And his coach testified. He said, when I see this man now, and I compare him to what he used to be after Ali beat him, then I know that indeed something happened to him. Because he said the guy was so devastated, they didn't believe he could recover. They must have tried all kinds of things. Psychiatrists, drugs, alcohol. He would have tried a lot himself. Then his friends would have tried all those psychiatrists and therapy and, check into rehab. The way they fool them, all the celebrities. We're deceiving you. Check into rehab. Tell you to give your life to Christ. Say, check into rehab. Let me not go into that side. Then finally, this man gave his life to Christ. And his life really changed. Now he doesn't need rehab. He's the one rehabilitating people. To those who knew him, said, if this could happen to this man, indeed, he really believes something. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what they call witnesses. That's what they call what? Witnesses. Now, I want to explain something, which I've taught us here before. Now, God is very big. When I mean big, I don't mean mileage, not measuring his diameter. What I mean is that there's a length, the breadth, the width, the depth of the person of God. Are you getting my point? He fills all things. He fills the whole universe. What that means simply is that if you look at Neptune, you know what's the Neptune? One of the planets in our solar system. If you look at Mercury, you look at the sun. Look at the northern star. There is something that they each say about God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now listen. But the most important descriptors of the person of God is you and I. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why he will say, he's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, and he's the God of Jacob. Then you will now see Paul, Peter, and co. describing him, calling him the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The simple thing is that you can never identify God except through people. That's the only way you know him. That's the way he is. You can't make an image of him. You can't. It's forbidden. That's one. And the reason why it's forbidden is that every image is an insult. No, it's not as if he's afraid of carving or artwork. It's just that what would the artwork say? What would the image say? They can't say anything about him. Therefore, it's forbidden. They're only going to distract you. They give you an inferior glory to behold. And God said that those who worship them become like them. They have eyes they can't see. What will happen is that God has given you eyes, but you will not be able to perceive the matters of life because you are worshiping images. What am I saying? God is not afraid of images. The reason why he said don't make them is because, one, they don't represent him well, and they put your eyes on a different place, therefore short, making you very far short of the glory of God, more than your iniquity could have done. You follow what I'm saying? Now, how therefore do we describe God for people? The reason why currently we are 6-point-something billion people on the earth, and many people have lived and died, all right? More than maybe 15 billion people have lived on this earth. I don't know the exact number. Each person is supposed to describe a part of God. That's what I keep saying. The only way you can paint a total picture of God, you know this, what they call these mosaic images. You've seen them, pictures. That is, from a distance you can see maybe, there are some then in Cosmo, quite a lot of them. You see Bob Marley from a distance. When you go closer, every dreadlock, every lock on his head, you see there are dark pictures. You know, you look at his eyes that look like white from distance. You go closer, you see they're actually pictures. Now, the only way we can describe God, all right, is when each one of us paint our own picture. When we put the pictures together, then God is described. Are you getting my point? That is, there's a part of God which there's only one person on this earth that can describe, and that person is called Banky. If I don't describe him, nobody will be able to. Now, I don't mean describing him by mouth. Say, praise the Lord. Have you all come? Amen. Ha. Today, I want to tell you about Jehovah Shekinu. Everybody say Shekinu. Now, this is how you spell Shekinu. God has formed my mouth to be able to pronounce Shekinu. Sounds funny. There's a man I know, honestly. He said his mouth was specially formed to pronounce the hidden name of God. I'm telling you, I don't want to give you details. People do things like that. So that's not what I mean. I mean that by the time I would have lived, maybe I live 110 years. All right? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Are you getting my point? All right? Now, when I will have finished the work of God for my life and I will have departed, then they will now look, say, you know of Banky. Then stories will be told about his life. And those stories are the descriptions, are you getting what I'm saying, of a part of God. Listen, every time you exalt God in your life, you naturally draw people. Did you hear what I said? You naturally draw people towards him. Then when they come, you begin to declare that which you know. And that is what is called preaching. Listen, let me explain something. You don't need to study, you know, those when we're young. Life is in phases, amen? When we want to go for evangelism on campus, you will go and cram the verses. Listen, I hope you know that if a man is an unbeliever, the Bible is no authority in his life. Do you get what I'm saying? If a man is not a Christian, you can't quote the Bible. It doesn't make sense. He said, Isaiah said, he said, that is folk tale. That was written by Steven Spielberg about 1700 years ago. According to Jeremiah, who's Jeremiah? Is it not one guy that the Jews invented? Listen to me, the scriptures, the Bible you carry, they are not authorities in his life. The chapters and verses you are quoting, he doesn't accept them. I hope you get my point. You can't tell a man who still doesn't believe in your God to tell him that God said to a Jeremiah that he's a witch God. God does not exist. Let me quickly just say this, all right, before I leave that. What convicts a man is not your words. All right? It's the job of the Holy Spirit. I just need to say that quickly. I need to say that quickly, all right? Because that's why, don't be... See, a man came to see me once from Mocha. I never forgot that. I sat here. Our hall was much smaller then. I sat somewhere around here, and he spoke with me. And he said that he never believed in God until he heard me preach on radio. Now, ask me forever what I said that persuaded him. I don't know. You know, I don't pray to those who don't believe in God. I don't. Yet the man heard me preach, and that was when he finally believed that indeed there is a God in heaven. Please, I hope you have understood what I'm saying. Now, let me get back to what I was saying earlier. So you see, it is not, you want to preach to somebody, it's not about quoting all the scriptures. Are you getting my point? No, it's not. Because the scriptures are not an authority in his life. They are not. What are you supposed to do is simple. Let me put it simply. You just speak that you are persuaded concerning and give the... Now, see, this is what is important. For example, people tell me something, look, like, what about the future of your children? The way I answer you, you know I believe something. Are you not saving up so that you can... The way I will tell you about my persuasion concerning tomorrow, you know I believe something. There are times, maybe somebody asks, talking about marriage and all of that. I will tell you how I am certain that God ordained and appointed the woman I married. You know I believe something. I don't have to quote a scripture for you. The scripture is for me. When I'm talking to you, I'm speaking to you that which my hands have handled. If I tell you how I arrived in Enugu, you know I believe something. If I tell you how I've never been tempted to relocate from Nigeria to another country because money is easier, you will know I believe something. Mike Mundock said, if your friends don't know your, they don't know your obsession, you don't have one. That if your friends can't tell what is pushing you, nothing is pushing you. That is, what it means is that there's nothing that is really, that's important in your life if your friends don't know. Because if indeed you have something that was important in your life, the people around you will know. They will know. I remember once, my mother passed a comment. Before she finished, I gave an answer. I said, Archbishop, that was, I said, they said, I know that's what you say. I said, at least you know that's what I'll say. I'm happy I did not disappoint you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If your friends don't know what you will say, you don't say anything. That's what it means. Are you getting my point? There are those that are known for their bad works. Olainka was just saying yesterday that there's one guy he knows. Don't leave a woman near him. So if you go and visit, you don't. If you go to his house mistakenly with a woman, when you are leaving, say, please, if that guy calls you, don't answer. He's an idiot. He's a thief. He's a wicked soul. You just describe him. Do you get my point? That's his character. He speaks. That's on the negative side. On the positive side, listen to me, your face will radiate. That's how you witness for Christ. That's what I'm saying, that we need to preach to ourselves. We don't need to preach to the world. Right now, the epidemic we have in Christianity, we have to cure it. I think our evangelism now should be to other Christians. No, listen, we are not ready for the world yet. We need to talk to ourselves. As an example, let me take one. This is just an off example. Let me just give you an example. If you are chasing the same thing the world is chasing, you can't preach to them. And that's part of the epidemic I'm talking about. We present the gospel as if, oh boy, you have tried stealing. It didn't favor you. See now, so. You've tried this one. It worked, it not work. Now come and try my God. In 12 months, you will have built a house in the village. See my car. In 6 months, you will have bought a car. Man, say, are you serious? Say, yes. What do I need to do? Just give your life to Christ now. Say after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I come into my life. Big. Fine, thank you. Say, now you sow a seed. Listen, as long as we are preaching that kind of gospel, we are misrepresenting Christ Jesus. And you see, you know the interesting part? We cannot preach another kind of gospel because that's what we believe. Listen, if we have the right perspective towards material things, people around us will soon know. If we have the right perspective, they can't. Listen, it's not people who come and start saying sometimes that, is it right to do this? What if they are doing this? And none of that. Is it right? I said, listen, is this in Christianity, right and wrong answers are difficult to give sometimes. The baseline is, what is it that is motivating you? If you have a different motivation from the other people that you are describing, that is it right to join with them in this, you will find out that you don't need to ask that question. Let me give an example. There are some things that make a lot of money that people come and tell me about once in a while. So a friend of mine said, you have to join this. This thing, it makes money. Yeah, look, it was showing me checks. In a month, I make 900,000, 1 million naira. When he finished talking, an average person will be enticed. All the perks, everything you will get. I told him, Oga, it's a pyramid scheme. I don't do pyramid schemes. If you like, let me bring checks for 1 billion. I told him straight, oh boy, this is a pyramid scheme. Banky does not do pyramid schemes. You know what's pyramid scheme? I register 6 more people. Eventually, I'm climbing up. And I'll get money at the end of the day. People say, is it right, is it wrong? I say, listen, it's quick money. Quick money is against my religion. I'm not interested. Like one of my friends said, at the bottom of the pyramid, there will be victims. I said, therefore, basically, it's a wrong thing. I am not interested. Now, I talk like this because, listen, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So it's forbidden. I don't run after things. All you need to do is hang around me long enough. You will know. That's my attitude. Now, are you getting my point? Listen. When you get to that point, then you have something to draw people towards. It is wrong to make Christianity appear like a quick way to get what they want. Christianity is the way by which you stop chasing things, we start chasing God. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying, all of these things. That's what I mean about the difference between witnesses and what? Preachers. All of us want to be preachers without being witnesses. We are not reflecting God properly. That's why I said, look, we don't need to preach to the world yet. We are not ready for them. We need to preach to ourselves. So, but what are you pursuing in life? What's your goal? What's driving you? What do you want to achieve? We need to rightly relate our own hearts to God first. Then naturally, people will know that we are different. They will know we are different. When everybody is rising up early, complain the whole day and going to bed late, and you do the same thing, you cannot be a witness of Christ to them. It's not possible. We make it look as if the only thing Christianity does is that he helps us get things. Let me tell you something. Sometimes what he does is for God to show his glory in the midst of your affliction first. That is, you attend, all of you don't have jobs. They all wake up morning, afternoon, and night whining and complaining and grumbling. But they notice that anytime they start complaining, you are full of thanksgiving. One day somebody will ask you, say, oh boy, come. What is it that gives you this kind of confidence? Somebody will ask. And listen, T.D. Jakes, once I watched his teaching, he was describing what it means to be more than a conqueror. He put two people side by side. Look, this man, everything's working out for him. Therefore, he's a conqueror. And you see, he's always rejoicing. They pointed to that person. He described another person and said, look at him. Everything is upside down. If this man can rejoice, then he's more than a conqueror. Are you getting my point? Because anybody will rejoice if things are going smooth. Sometimes the glory of God is that men are walking around in the furnace of fire and they are still rejoicing. That's what I meant when I said that, listen, your life is supposed to describe God. Are you getting my point? There is a God that takes a Joseph out of the prison into the palace. And then there is a God, the part of that same God, another part of him entirely, that takes Moses out of that same palace and takes him to the wilderness. Do you get the point I'm making? No, we cannot just present Christ Jesus as if he's a sweet, sweet, give me sweet, sweet thing, Christ Jesus alone. No, 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 we can't. We can't be his witnesses until we understand him properly. That's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, I know we've been taught that we should just go out and go and preach, and I think it's good, it's important. But I like what Jesus said, and listen, always understand the Lord Jesus Christ. When he gave his commission, he wasn't giving them to young converts. I hope you know. When he gave those commissions, he was not giving them to young converts. He was talking to the likes of Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, people who had been with him for the last few years. People he had taught. Are you getting my point? On top of that, he now told them, wait first. Before you go out, I will put something upon you. We make a mistake a lot of times. Tell, look, the young convert, for your faith to be firm, you must go out and go and declare. I don't think it's true. Paul disappeared for a long time. By the time he reappeared, he had so much revelation, God had to be shooking him on the side once in a while to keep him humble. Because of the abundance of revelations. He didn't just get up and start saying things he didn't understand. What am I saying? You cannot be an effective preacher until you are a true witness. And you cannot be a witness until you have stayed and you have drunk of that good word of God and you have been transformed by it. Listen, once in a while I tell my wife, you know, maybe because she's Pastor Banky's wife, people say she come and preach. See, what do I say? I say, listen, when you get there, don't prepare a message. Just go and explain what you know. I said, just go and explain what you know. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Just go and explain what you know. What you have come to understand. This is how I handle life. This is how my husband and I handle things because of what we have come to understand about the word of God. It's simple. What am I saying? When a man wants to preach, he just declares that which he knows. Stop repeating rehombonki. You ain't rehombonki. You don't have his anointing. You can anoint people by preaching like him. What he used to save millions, you will be using to angry thousands. You'll be angered thousands. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the only thing a young convert can say, like you know that man, after Jesus healed him, they were arguing and arguing. He said, listen, you guys can say what you like. One thing I know is that once I was blind, now I can see. As for the theology behind it, I have no understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's why as a young convert, the only thing you can say to anybody is once I was a sinner, I don't sin anymore. Before, morning till night, now I go out, they smoke. Now, morning to night, I go to school, I walk, I go for fellowship, I praise the Lord. If you see me before, I be a real bad boy. Now, I'm a church boy. How it came to be, somebody preached to me and I believed. Do you want to believe too? I'm telling you, you know, let me just end now, right? I'm ending now, amen? I've closed this Bible, right? I'm going. I just want to tell you a story, all right? Make you laugh. There's this man, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? He wrote that book. What's his name? Larry Lee. Larry Lee. Larry Lee. Larry Lee was a son of a multimillionaire. He was confused totally about life. Then one day, he called his father. And after explaining all the problems of his life, confusion of his soul to his father answered him and said, any boy that has all the things you have, and he's still talking like this, must be on drugs. Because he had everything. They were very rich. He had the nicest cars, the nicest apartments, went to the best schools and everything. Let's make a long story short. The boy went crazy. Yeah, he went mental. Because of the confusions in his life. Finally, they checked him into a Catholic hospital. A Catholic psychiatric hospital. So, there they had these Bibles. So, he started reading the Bible. In fact, one day, as he was going out, on the walls, there are crosses everywhere. And on top of it, they write, you know, there's this inscription on top of the head of Christ. So they put, in the way Carlos write it, so I-N-R-I. So he looked at it and read it as Inri. So he said, his name is, so he was packing all the crosses. And being a mental patient, they thought he was really out of order. So they were chasing him. So he carried all the crosses in the world and was running. And was shouting, His name is not Henry. His name is not Henry. His name is not Henry. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Actually, what happened is that after he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he got down on his knees and prayed a simple prayer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all the prayer he prayed. After that, the Holy Spirit, that's what I'm telling you, you can't persuade anybody. You can't convert people. You can only witness and tell your story. That's all. The Holy Spirit now came into him and converted him there from just reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, this is a story about where I'm going. After, of course, they arrested him, arrested the crosses from his hands, and they put him back on his bed. They now discovered that the boy had gotten well. The young man had gotten well. After a while, they discharged him. Then when he got home, he had a lot of friends who were in the same trouble, the kind of trouble he was in. They were in the same, some of them rock stars. In fact, he mentioned some names, big rock stars. So you call them, say, guys, you know what's going on? He said, man, I'm free. Free from what? All the problems. He said, how did you do it? He said, look, just get a Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Once you finish, get on your knees and shout, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know all his friends that obeyed it? All of them were saved. All of them were transformed. They would just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They will kneel down and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will actually come and transform them. That is that. Look, those are the kind of things I read. I said, no. All this one of rehearsing Rehombonk is not necessary. It's not necessary. The man didn't, nobody preached anything to him. He just read Matthew. Look, of course, he wrote that the story. By that time, he was a pastor of a church of maybe like 10,000 people in America. He had this very famous book that time, Could You Not Tarry With Me For 1 Hour? All right? The book is still out there. The book was a bestseller. I listened to the teachings on it, my God. Fantastic teachings. That's when he wrote the story. It was a sane person. The confessions of life ran him mental. God delivered him when he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is what I'm saying. He was a witness. And how did he preach? Just to his friends. Boys, you know, we're all in the same shoes. He said, yes. We're all doing these things, drugs and everything. He said, yes. He said, listen, oh, this is the way out. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. At the end, just shout the name of that Savior 3 times. And that's it. You're free. And as they were shouting it, one after the other, they were getting free. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm sure by the time I was telling the story, he was no longer converting people like that. He had changed the method to another one. But that's just the story I want to tell about it. That's what it means to be a witness. We can talk about it next time. Let me just end with one statement. Listen, your life must reflect what you believe. It must reflect Christ Jesus. You cannot be a faithful Christian and be a useless worker. Please, that's an insult to Christianity. Let me tell you, they are paying you only 2,500 a month, yet you are working happily. That's the testimony. Every unbeliever can whine and grumble. I hope you know that. Every unbeliever can whine and grumble. When in the midst of all the afflictions, you don't whine, you don't grumble. It doesn't mean the money is a lot. That means you are happy with it. But you just know. And listen, let me not continue preaching. It's if you are persuaded. All this is not just about pretending. That's what I mean by you must first be converted. You know what Jesus said? Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you are converted, that's when you'll be able to witness and strengthen your brethren. What have I said today? How can I witness effectively? How can I preach the gospel? First of all, I must be a real witness of that which I have heard, which I have seen, that which I beheld, and my hands handled concerning the word of life. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.